Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these broadcasts to you for 20 years now. And we praise the Lord for this radio station and for all the prayers and the provision, and most of all for you, the listener. And we thank the Lord for all of the great messages that He has given us. If this is your first time listening today, we say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop on your Sunday schedule. And for those of you who've been with us for many years, we thank the Lord for you. We appreciate you, and we hope you also continue to keep tuning in each and every Sunday. Today, we're going to be talking about the backsliding Christian. And so this is going to be a good subject for all of you who may be in that situation. There's some out there listening to me today that are prodigals, that are backsliding Christians. And so this is going to be appropriate for you to know where you stand with the Lord and that the Lord cares for you. He loves you. He can call you back. He's calling you back this very day. And so we'll take up this message. Turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 10. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message, just want to give you a brief update. What's going on in the ministry here in Kenya? We're having very rainy weather. We're back into the fall rains, or the short rains, they call them. And we've planted our fall crops, our fall maize and bean crops. And so we're very excited about that. Off to a new growing season. And also, we're praying about building a school on 2 acres of land that we have purchased the last couple of years. We have 2 acres in between the children's home and the church, Living Water Church. And so we want to build a primary school for grades 1 through 8 and a preschool along with it. There'll be about 200 to 300 students there eventually. And so we are looking forward to that. Be a opportunity to minister to the young children in Makunda. Many of them drop out of school, 4th grade, 6th grade, 8th grade. It's very common. And so we want to minister to them an evangelical approach to schooling, ABCs, and good basic education, but at the same time steeped in a Christian environment. And they'll also learn Bible stories, and it'd be an opportunity to evangelize these students, many of them of the Muslim religion. And so we thank the Lord for that opportunity. If you have any questions about this project, we're asking the Lord for $300,000, and we trust the Lord that He will bring that money to us. And so if you have questions about it, email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we can talk about it and get started on that project. Well, today we're going to be talking about the backslidden Christian. And so this is a very important subject. Many people receive Jesus as their Lord. They confess Jesus as their Lord. And then they get into a backslidden situation, a backslidden lifestyle where they don't go to church. They don't read the Bible and they don't pray very often except when they get in a jam of some kind. And so this is very important for you to know if you're in that situation out there today and you're listening to me, or if you have children in this situation or brothers and sisters, how you can pray for them and what is the Lord's will for the backslidden Christian. And so this is very important to keep praying for those in your family that are backslidden. And if you yourself are backslidden, pay attention and listen up, because God has a plan for you. He wants to bring you back into the fold, back into the sheepfold. He wants to bring you back into the kingdom so you can fulfill your destiny and you can continue to walk with the Lord as you started out. Every good work that the Lord started in you, He will complete. Philippians 1:6, He will complete it. And so that is His plan for your life. Well, I'm going to start in Romans 9:10. We looked at this scripture last week, and this is the place you start in your salvation journey. And you have to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And that starts with believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord. And so Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 takes us up. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And verse 13, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so salvation starts in the heart. The heart is the center of emotions. It's the center of passion. It's the center of your will, and your mind is associated with your heart, the things that occur in your heart, the convictions that occur in your heart, the passions and the desires that come from the heart, then are also manifested in the mind into thoughts and eventually into actions. And so that is God's will, that you believe in your heart first, that your heart receives the message of conviction, your heart receives the message that Jesus Christ went to the cross, the message of the cross, that God sent his very own son to die for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And so that is God's plan for your life. And the prodigal, or the backslidden Christian, is someone who received Jesus Christ at some point in their life, generally speaking, at a younger age, maybe a teenager or preteen. Generally speaking, they were on fire and they accepted Jesus and they believed in their heart and they confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, and they were baptized. And so this is then the stage, sets the stage for the backslidden Christian, because if you go back to Romans, if you go back to Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower, there is a seed that is sown on the thorny ground, and this seed is seed that is sown among the thorns. It can starts to make a plant, starts to come up very quickly. The roots go down, the plant comes up, but the cares of the world and the riches of the world take that plant and destroy it. In other words, the thorns wrap around the good plant, the tares grow up with the good seed and the good plant. And so the cares of the world and the riches, the deceitfulness of riches, kill that plant, and there is no lasting fruit that comes from that plant. And so this is the picture of the prodigal. The prodigal is convicted in his heart. The prodigal makes a decision to accept Jesus Christ, confesses his name, believes in his heart, and is baptized. But then the deceitfulness of riches, or the cares and struggles of the world, and you could also put in that persecution, which is the stony ground, but many things draw people away from their commitment or their original desire to know the Lord. And so that sets up the situation for the prodigal. Is the prodigal lost and condemned to hell? No, we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But the prodigal is someone who knew Jesus Christ, confessed his name, and then drifts away, drops away, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, draw him away or her away from commitment and from producing fruit for the kingdom of God. Well, what is God's stance towards the prodigal? What is God's desire for the prodigal? Go back to Jeremiah in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12. This is God speaking to the children of Israel, but in the same way he speaks to the prodigal of the New Testament, the New Covenant. God says, return, backsliding Israel, to me. I will not cause anger to fall on you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not remain angry forever. And so we serve a God of mercy. We serve a God of mercy, a God who loves us unconditionally. a God who loves us with agape love. He loves us unconditionally. There's no sin that we can commit that will drive God away from us. God is there for us even when we don't care about him, even when we don't pay attention to him, even when we don't understand the ways of God for us. He is still there for us. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And God will never give up on you. He will not give up on the prayers. If you're praying for prodigals in your family, he will not give up on them. He will honor the prayers of your mother and your father. If you're a prodigal out there today, and if you're praying today for one of your children or several of your children who are prodigals, God will not abandon you. He will not give up on you. And so you keep praying. You keep asking the Lord to intervene and to convict the prodigal to come back to the Lord. And so God goes on here in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 13. He says, only acknowledge your iniquity that you have transgressed against the Lord your God. You have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. And so that speaks of witchcraft. That speaks of entertaining occult ideas, entertaining things that are of the devil. And that's where many prodigals go. They get fascinated with the world of the devil. They start dabbling in astrology. They start dabbling in witchcraft. They start dabbling in divination, all these different kinds of things that draw people away from the Lord. This isn't just simple sin. This isn't just simple disobedience. This is deep disobedience. Draws people away from the Lord. And so God says, acknowledge your iniquity. Well, that is the challenge for every person. Lord says that pride goes before destruction. And so people get prideful about what they're doing. And it's very, very difficult then for them to acknowledge the things that they're doing are breaking the heart of God. Backsliding is just supreme disobedience, and it puts people in a very difficult situation. And we'll look at the story of the prodigal son here in just a minute. But backsliding is a common occurrence, happens with many people, many, many of the younger generation, the generation of the Generation Z, and even before that, people that get involved in drugs, people get involved in alcohol and all kinds of wayward living, occult living, then they are backslidden to the point where they're in a very difficult situation. Their eternal life is in balance and it is in a precarious place. And so we'll look at that here with the prodigal son here in just a minute. Well, God speaks through Jeremiah, Jeremiah 3:14, and he says, return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Well, praise God for that. He's going to give you a shepherd when you come back, but you have to acknowledge your iniquity. You are married to God, whether you know it or not. God loves you. He will never give up on you. Faithful is he who called you, and he will see it come to pass. God wants you to fulfill your destiny. Some of you out there listening to me today, you have not been in church for many, many years. You have not prayed sincerely to God for many years. You have not been in any kind of fellowship, no Bible study, anything like that. You don't have any desire to read God's word. I say to you today, God has not given up on you. You think you've done too much sin, or you've had too much happen in your life that God has abandoned you. I say to you today, he has not abandoned you, and you can come back into the good graces of God. He is there for you to receive you, to call you home, to call you back. And so put your pride down and let go of your life today and get back to the life that God has called you to live. Go back to the destiny that God has called you to be walking into, and you can then walk into it. Well, let's turn over to Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. Many, many people know this scripture, and they might even know the word prodigal, but they're not sure what it means, but somebody may have called him a prodigal. But the prodigal son is one of the great stories in the New Testament. And this is the words of Jesus speaking about a person who was once saved, once in the good grace of God, and once walking in the good graces of God, and they abandon it, they go away from it, and God calls them home. He calls them back through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God calls them back to their destiny to walk in the kingdom walk. And so in Luke chapter 15, verse 11, it says, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living." So prodigal just means wasteful and wanton waste. And so this son asked for his inheritance, got a big wad of money, took off, and he wasted all of his money and his possessions on prodigal living. "And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." Well, he's out there, he's living his life, and there's a scripture in the Bible that says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. And that's the way it is with many prodigals. They think they are doing the right thing. They're full of pride. They're full of themselves. They want to explore everything that the world has for them. They want to explore the world of the devil, drugs, alcohol, wild living, promiscuous living. All of this stuff describes the life of the prodigal when he's living in the pig pen. And this boy, this young man, he got to the point where he was hungry, and he was living in the pig pen, living with the pigs out in the field, and he's eating the same pods that the swine eat. Well, spiritually, this means you're feeding off of the devil's diet. You're feeding off of the devil's table. That is not God's portion for you. That is not God's plan for you. God's plan for you, the Bible says that he will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. And so God doesn't want you eating the slop, the pods from the pig pen. He wants you to eat what is prepared for you by God Almighty, your Father, and he wants you to eat that in the presence of your enemies. And so he comes to his senses, verse 17. "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?' He says, 'I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" And so this scripture here, "I am no longer worthy to be called your son," tells you that he believed he was saved, that God had taken him as a young man at some point in time. God had taken him on his salvation journey. And so he knows that he was saved, but he has become prodigal because he has turned his back on God. God has not turned his back on him. He's out there in the pig pen. Now he's eating with the pigs. And he says, "I have sinned against heaven and before you." And so he understands that he has sinned against God. He sinned against his own earthly father, and he sinned against his father in heaven. And so that is exactly where the Lord spoke to the Israelites back in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 13. "Only acknowledge your iniquity that you have transgressed against the Lord your God, and you have scattered your charm to alien deities under every green tree." When you acknowledge that you have been walking with the devil, when you acknowledge that your sin is weighing you down and is a burden to you, you have shame, You have a burden because of your sin. All you have to do is say, Lord, I have sinned against you. Lord, I have sinned against my Father on earth, my Father in heaven, and probably all of his colleagues, all of the people that he worked with, he sinned against them as well. And so when you get to that point, you acknowledge that confession and you repent. You turn from your wicked ways. You turn from the pig pen and you head back to the Father. That is repentance. Repentance is turn from your wicked ways, acknowledge your sin, ask the Lord to forgive you of your sin. And when you head back to the Father will be there to receive you and to embrace you. And so in verse 20, and he arose and he came to his Father. And when he was still a long way off, his Father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck, kissed him. And so this is a picture of his earthly Father embracing him, but it's also a picture of our heavenly Father embracing us when we come back to him, when we acknowledge our sinful ways and say, Lord, I want to come back to you. I have sinned against you and I've sinned against my earthly Father. I've sinned against my companions and my colleagues. And so when you do that, God is there to embrace you. And in verse 21, the son said to his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Well, the father immediately embraces the son. The father immediately takes him back. And that's a picture of God's plan for you, beloved, out there. God has not given up on you. There's nothing you can do that will make God give up on you. There's no sin. The Apostle Paul called himself the greatest sinner of all. He was a blasphemer and a persecutor of Christians. There's nothing you can do that will make God give up on you. Maybe you've been separated from God for many years. You've come to a place where you understand that you need to get back to God. Put your pride down and say, Lord, I receive the love that you have for me. Lord, I have been a woeful sinner. I've been far away from you. I've disregarded your commandments. I've disregarded the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But now, I am ready to turn back to you, to confess my sin, to confess my iniquity. And when you do that, the Lord will be there to greet you. He will be there to embrace you, and he will put the robe on you. He will put a ring on your finger. He will put sandals on your feet, which means he's taken you back fully. He is embracing you fully. And the Lord says that when he forgives us of our sin, he not only forgives us, but he forgets about it as far as the east is from the west. And so he doesn't keep a record of your sin. He throws them out. He takes that file out of his cabinet and he throws it out. And there is no record kept of your sin when you sincerely repent and you sincerely ask the Lord to forgive you. Well, the other son wasn't happy about this situation. This son represents the religious people who can't accept that sinners come into the church. They can't accept people that have a checkered lifestyle or a sinful lifestyle. They can't accept that they have received Jesus, and they may be covered with tattoos or spikes or long hair or whatever, freaky clothes or whatever it is. They can't accept them. That's the religious spirit that believes that God can't save these people. He can't draw these people back to him. And so those people are represented by the older son. And the older son was in the field and he came and drew near to the house. He heard the music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked him what these things mean. And the servant said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry. That is the religious son. He was angry and would not go in, Therefore his father came and pleaded with him. And so he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son comes back, you who have devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is now found. And so when you come back to the Lord, if you're a prodigal listening to me, when you come back to the Lord, the Father will kill the fatted calf for you. He'll put a robe on you, a ring on your finger, because you were dead and now you have come back. And that is God's plan for your life, that you come back to life, that the Spirit of the living God come in you, the conviction of your sin, change your life. You repent, you walk away from your iniquity, you turn away from it, and you turn back to the living God, and you let God work in your life and fulfill your destiny. Well, I hope this message speaks to some of you out there. Again, if you're a parent and you have prodigal children, keep praying for them. Don't give up. God will honor your prayers no matter what, no matter what you see in the natural. God will honor your prayers, and that person will come to the Lord. That person will turn from his wicked way. The circumstances of his life may be ugly. They may not be anything you are proud of or want to see happen, but God will orchestrate the circumstances of that person's life and bring them back to him. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I hope you enjoy these broadcasts. We'd love to hear from you. Keep these broadcasts coming. You can contact us, Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Check us out on PayPal, paypal.me/gatheroutcasts. That's paypal.me/gatheroutcasts. Check us out on Facebook. See pictures of the ministry at facebook.com/Jim Rao. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you contribute to keep these broadcasts coming. Let us hear from you today. God bless you. Thank you again for listening. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.